Actually, we actually memorized part of this chapter quite several years ago when I was in another church, but it's a very good portion of Scripture. This chapter is about the good shepherd, about the good shepherd. That's what it's about. And so we're going to spend a few weeks looking at the good shepherd. And this morning we want to look at trusting the good shepherd, trusting the good shepherd. Can you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you trust Him? I believe that you can trust Him more than any other shepherd that there is out there. You can trust Jesus Christ in everything. We'll look at the first six verses of John chapter number 10. Jesus is going to be speaking to the Pharisees here as he says these words. This is a parable that He gives. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we're thankful that we can be here. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to each and every heart that's here. I pray that You'd do what only You can do. I pray that You'd fill us with Thy Spirit. Lord, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our ears be inclined towards You, that we'd forget about outside things that would want to pull our minds away from Your Word and what You have to say. I pray that You'd bless us and help us. Lord Jesus Christ, we invite You to be with us. We want You to be here with us. We want You to be the central focus of what's going on here. Lord, I pray that You'd help me as I preach and help me to say things that are needful and necessary and edifying. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, we'll read the first six verses. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," verily, verily means truly, truly. "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them." They were These Pharisees here that Jesus had spoken these words to were spiritually blind. This chapter comes on the heels of chapter number 9. Jesus told the Pharisees in chapter number 9, the last couple of verses there, that they were spiritually blind. Jesus spoke to them and says, "You're not going to understand what I'm saying here because you're spiritually blind." He says, "I am the good shepherd," in this chapter. This chapter is all about how Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. And you and I, as people of God, we are pictured as sheep. Now, I don't know if you consider that a compliment or not, but sheep, well, they're not the smartest animals out there in the animal kingdom. They're not really cunning, not really wise. They're just not really smart animals. You know, they're not really real sneaky and crafty. That you don't think of that when you think of a sheep. Sheep can't defend themselves. You're not going to go out and see a sheep taking on a lion or a bear or a snake or something like that. They're just not vicious creatures. But yet the Bible, the Bible pictures us as Christians as sheep. And there's a reason for that. It's probably been a couple of years ago, I read a story about some shepherds over in Istanbul, Turkey. Maybe you guys have heard of this story. I don't know if you have or not, but about 2005, there were some shepherds over in Istanbul, Turkey. They had about 1,500 head of sheep that they were taking care of. And they decided, well, we're going to go and we're going to eat some breakfast. So they left the sheep alone out there. And I probably told you guys this story before, but they left the sheep alone. They go out to eat breakfast, and where they're watching these sheep in close proximity, there's a big cliff there. I don't know how deep the drop-off was, but it was pretty deep. So the shepherds, they leave the sheep, and they go to eat breakfast. Well, one of the sheep wandered off and started walking, and he walked right over the edge of that cliff. And lo and behold, the next sheep followed after, and he walked off the edge of the cliff. And one by one, 1,500 sheep walked off the edge of the cliff, and 450 of those sheep died. You know how the rest of those sheep survived? Well, the 450 that died on the bottom of the fall, they broke the fall of the rest of the sheep. Sheep aren't too smart. Sheep are not smart. Sheep are followers by nature. And so we are pictured as sheep in the Scriptures. We're not the smartest creatures on the planet. Now, you might think that you are, but really we're not all that smart. We can't really defend ourselves. Now, my point is that we need a shepherd as Christians. We tend to be followers, and we follow the crowd, and many times it's to our own destruction and our own detriment. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." We're followers many times, and we need a shepherd to lead us through life. We need someone to lead us and to guide us. You think about great men in the Bible, or a lot of men in the Bible, they were shepherds. You think about Abel, he was the first shepherd way back in the Book of Genesis. Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Whenever the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus Christ, who'd they go to? They went to shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping the watch over their flock by night. See, all of these shepherds, and they're keeping their sheep, and then you get down all the way to where Jesus Christ is, and he says, "I am the good shepherd." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25 says, "For you were as sheep going astray, but now have you returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That great chapter in the Old Testament, Psalm chapter number 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's my shepherd. And it is God who leads us all along through life, and it is God who's going to be with the Christian through the passage of death, because he is our good shepherd. So here we have John chapter 10. Well, John chapter 10 comes after John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, there was a man there who was born blind. Jesus Christ anointed his eyes with mud and spit and all of that, and he healed this man who had been blind. This man goes to the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of the day. They have the authority. They're supposed to be the shepherds of the flock. They're supposed to be the ones who care and tend for the flock. And this man who had been born blind, who had just received his eyesight from Jesus Christ, goes to the Pharisees, talks to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees didn't care one whit about this young man. They didn't care about him. Matter of fact, they were jealous. Got angry because Jesus Christ had healed this man. Jesus Christ has a confrontation with them. Enter John chapter number 10. He says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, he's going to say, "You shepherds, you people from Israel, you Pharisees, you're false shepherds. You're false shepherds." He says, "I am the good shepherd." Is Jesus Christ your shepherd this morning? Are you willing to trust Jesus Christ as your good shepherd? Lots of false shepherds out there. Lots of things that you can follow to lead and to guide your life. Lots of plans of salvation that you can go to. But there's only one good shepherd that can get the job done. You must go to Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like to give you three reasons why you should trust Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. Why should you trust him? Why not trust something else besides Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus gives us some good reasons why. The first thing is this, is that Jesus comes to us in the right way. He comes to the flock in the right way. We see that in verse number 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way." The same as a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ
comes in the right way. Now, the false shepherds, the Pharisees, tried to get to the flock, tried to get to the people of God, but they were going up some other way. They're climbing over the fence. They were going through the door. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the door. But they were going up some other way. They said, we're going to get to the flock. We're going to try to lead them, but we're going to go up some other way. In other words, their motives were wrong for why they wanted to lead the flock. Their intentions were wrong for why they wanted to get to the flock. And they proved it in the previous chapter, because when the man that was born blind had been healed, he came to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees did not care one whit about the flock. They didn't care. As a matter of fact, they hated Jesus Christ and says, you know what? You need to confess that this Jesus Christ that just healed you is a sinner. He's a sinner. You know the famous line. Whether he's a sinner or not, I know not, but one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. I know that much. He's the good shepherd. Now, the Pharisees didn't care about the flock. They had ulterior motives. Oh, they wanted authority over the flock. They had their reasons for that, but they were not concerned about the well-being of the sheep. They didn't care. You know what they cared about? They cared about their power. They cared about their authority. They cared about their political position in the community. They cared about their position in the Roman government, because, by the way, they have some position in the Roman government. They have authority. And if they have a flock and they have control over the people, then they have their power. And if the people leave and they go to Jesus Christ, or they find some other way of salvation, well, there goes their country. There goes their authority. They were the religious leaders of the day, and they were going up some other way. So they wanted to keep the flock around just as long as it served their needs and their political power, and it lined their pocketbooks. Yeah, they want the flock around. But they don't care if they go to hell. They don't care if they're going to follow the Lord or not. They don't care anything about that. They denied Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, look, you are thieves and you're robbers in verse number 8. He said, you're a thief in verse number 10, and he says, you're a hireling who only works for the pay without little concern for the people. You're a hireling. You're not like the good shepherd. What about our good shepherd this morning? What is Christ's motives for the flock? Does Jesus Christ care about you and I? What's his motives for the flock? Is he coming into the flock because he has some kind of ulterior motive that he's not telling you about, and really he just wants to use you for his own benefit? No, he actually saves. He doesn't destroy you. We find that in verse number 9. He gives us abundant life. That's what the shepherd does. There is no other Savior besides Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ leads us out and he gives us pasture. He takes care of us. He provides for us. That's what Jesus Christ does. Can I tell you this morning that the best life that there is the life with Jesus Christ? That's the best life. He provides the best life that there is. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is life. He is life. Life is meaningless without Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gives his life for the sheep. He says, I lay it down. I give my life for the sheep. Our shepherd is completely selfless. He doesn't have anything that he's trying to get out of us. He has the right motives for the flock. And so he comes to us and he loves us dearly. That's why you can trust Jesus Christ. You know, there's been a lot of false shepherds out there, and even in our day that we've seen. I thought of one, even not in my day, but this man named Muhammad that was the leader of Islam. Well, he's the one that started that. Did he lay down his life for his flock? Did he lay down his life for his followers? No, he didn't do that. He wasn't completely selfless. You shouldn't follow Muhammad. You shouldn't follow Islam. He's not a good shepherd. He's not like Jesus Christ. How about David Koresh back in the 90s? Anybody ever remember that man? Well, he had a flock, and he was a Bible perverter. He preached all right, but he had a wicked message. You know what he did? He let all of his followers burn in a burning building because he didn't want to give up. He didn't want to quit. And by the way, he was taking all the women of his flock and making them his wife and then having babies with all of the women of the flock. Good guy. Real good guy. All these people were brainwashed following David Koresh. False shepherd. How about old Jim Jones? Demented, disillusioned Jim Jones. He had a flock and he didn't care about the flock. He only cared about himself. Takes them off to Guyana and they all drink Kool-Aid and 900 of them commit suicide. There's lots of false shepherds out there. But you can trust Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ cares for you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. Don't trust anything else. Who's your Savior this morning? Who's your Savior? Don't trust the culture. Don't trust society. Who you trust in? You trust another, some other kind of internet guru or someone that makes you feel good instead of Jesus Christ? They ain't the good shepherd. You better follow Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. He comes to us in the right way. You trust culture. You trust something else. It ain't going to do nothing but suck the life out of you. Jesus Christ gives and gives and gives. You can trust Jesus Christ. You can trust Him. Not only does Jesus Christ have the right motives, but He has the right knowledge. He knows you intimately. That's why you ought to trust Jesus Christ, because He knows you. We find that in verse number 3. To Him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name. You know why you ought to trust Jesus Christ this morning? Because He knows you. He knows you. If you're His child, if you're His sheep, He knows you, and He knows you intimately. Says the porter openeth. What's the porter? The porter's the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper. Somebody's letting Jesus Christ into the gate to get to the flock so He can take care of the flock. Who do you think's the gatekeeper? Who lets Jesus Christ into the flock? It's God the Father. God the Father's there opening the door and saying, hey, this is your flock. You can go in and take care of them. It's not Peter. Peter don't let Jesus Christ into the flock. It's not Mary. It's not some other prophet. No, it is God the Father. God the Father has a flock that He's given to the Son. And He's saying, look, this is your flock. I'm opening the gate. It is yours. We find that in verse number 29. My Father, which gave them to me. My Father gave me a flock, and He's opened the door and said, here it is. John chapter 6, verse number 39 confirms all of this. And when the porter opens, when God the Father opens the door and Jesus Christ goes in and He sees the flock, you know what there is? There's a familiarity there. There's some rejoicing there. There's some welcomeness there. There's a deep and abiding relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It's not just a casual knowledge. It's not just, well, I wonder who that is. He looks kind of familiar. No, I know that guy. I know them. I know them. And the sheep hear His voice in verse number 3. The sheep come in and say, hey, it's the shepherd. I know that man. He's mine. He's mine. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know His voice? I'm not talking about have you heard an audible voice. We ain't going to hear an audible voice. We're not going to hear that. You know what we know? We know the message. Whenever we hear the word preached and we hear the gospel preached, hey, I know that. That's mine. That's my shepherd. He's talking about Jesus Christ. I know Him. I know Him. Yeah. I can trust Him. It's not an audible voice, but we hear the gospel call. We hear the word of God preached and taught. And we know the shepherd. We know that it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ walked through the streets of Jerusalem. You know who came to Him? The flock came to Him. He went out and He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You know who came to Him? Not the self-righteous Pharisees. Not those who were trusting in religion. No, those who came to Jesus Christ was the flock. All of the outcast, all of the ones who weren't self-righteous, all of the ones who knew that they were sinners, all of the ones who wanted salvation, that's who came to the shepherd because they knew the voice of the shepherd. They came to him. You know why you can trust him? Because he knows you. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he calls his own sheep by name. Don't it make you feel good when somebody knows your name and you go somewhere? You know the way that makes you feel? Like, that person knows me. He knows my name. The importance of a name is that it's the greatest connection to a person's identity and individuality. Some people have said that a person's name is the most important word to that person in the entire world. Do you know that Jesus Christ knows your name and he's calling you out by name? That's why you can trust the shepherd. He's not a stranger to you. You know, sometimes I forget people's names. I'm not real good with names sometimes. I work on it, especially when you get up here and you've known people for years and you look at them and their name escapes you. The worst thing in the world. You know, Jesus Christ is not going to forget your name. Not now, not ever. It says in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they might forget. Why? Because they're human. They might forget. You know what God says? Yea, they may forget, but yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before thee. We're on the palm of his hand. He's not going to forget us. That's why you can trust Jesus Christ this morning. Whenever Jesus Christ called us out by name, you know what he's saying? Signifying ownership. He's saying, hey, that's my child right there. He belongs to me. So we can trust Jesus Christ. Why? Because we have a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear him calling your name? Not audibly, but do you hear him? Do you have an intimate knowledge with Jesus Christ? Have you come to a place in life where you're drawn to Jesus Christ? You want to know Jesus Christ? Do you have an affection for him? I'm not talking about some kind of religion. I'm talking about the man Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you have a desire to know him and what he said? We can trust him this morning because he knows us. We can trust the Good Shepherd not only because of his motives and his knowledge of us, but because Jesus Christ is a true leader. He leads us. He leads us. We find that in verses 3 and 4. Jesus leads the flock. He leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him and know his voice. You know why we can trust Jesus Christ this morning? Because he's the ultimate leader. He goes out in front of us. He's out in front of us. Now, Jesus Christ is not in the back behind us, and he don't have a whip, and he's not cracking the whip saying, get after it, get after it. No, he's out in front of us, leading us. He goes before the sheep. He's not a slave driver. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He is a leader, and he's out in front of the sheep. Why is he out in front of the sheep? Why is he picturing himself out there like that? He's out there fighting for the sheep. He's leading us out. Anything that comes against the sheep, he's going to be fighting for the sheep. Unlike the Pharisees that he's been talking about in chapter number 9. They aren't like the good shepherd. He's fighting for us. You know who Jesus Christ is? He's the captain of our salvation. He's fighting for our protection. He's fighting for our preservation. That's what he's fighting for. The good shepherd's a good example to the sheep. You know what you can do? Open up the scriptures and look at the life of Jesus Christ and say, there's a perfect example that I can follow. That man right there, Jesus Christ, he's out in front. You can follow Jesus Christ. You want to know how to live a holy and righteous life? Look to Jesus Christ. Hey, we're called Christians, aren't we? Called Christians. You know what the word Christian means? Christian means little Christ. We're just like our leader, Jesus Christ. We ought to be. We ought to be striving to live like Jesus Christ and be like Jesus Christ. He's out there in front so we can watch him. How did Jesus live? Which way did he go? What path did he take? You know what he's doing while he's out there in front of us? He's warning us about impending danger. He's saying, hey, don't go that way. Don't do that with your life. Repent of that sin. Get right. Don't make that turn. Go forward. Follow me. He's showing him impending danger. You better watch out for that pitfall. Look out for that lion. Look out for that bear. Repent of sin. The Holy Spirit in our life, you know what he does? Sanctifies us. Sets us apart. Convicts us of sin. Shows us the right way. You can trust Jesus Christ. Why? He's a leader. He's a leader. What about those Pharisees? What did they do? Were they good examples for the flock? They weren't good examples for the flock. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ has told his disciples, whenever you hear the Pharisees teaching, don't do what they do. Just do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they say and they do not. They didn't practice what they preached. Don't follow them. He says they love the power. They love the authority. They love to wear the nice clothes to enlarge the border of their garments. They love the titles that they have. They love to be called rabbi and father. Don't call no man on earth your father. Don't do that. Another thing that I noticed as Jesus Christ is our leader is he puts forth the sheep. Verse number 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep. You know what Jesus Christ does as a leader? Puts them forth. You know what it means to put forth? It means to eject or to cast out. You know what Jesus Christ does to his sheep? Kicks them out of the sheepfold. Takes them out. Leads them out of the sheepfold. And it says, when he putteth forth his own sheep. It doesn't say if, it says when. And so Jesus Christ takes all of the sheep out of the sheepfold, and they are going to obey him and follow him. They must. He takes them out of the sheepfold. What's Jesus Christ doing? He's taking us out of our comfort zone. Hey, inside the pen, inside the sheepfold is where it's real nice and safe, isn't it? Might not want to get out of the sheepfold. But Jesus says, hey, we're all leaving. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to leave the pen, and we're going to go. Well, you may not want to leave the sheepfold. It's nice and cozy in there. Nice and safe in there. But you know what's outside of the sheepfold? Green pastures are outside of the sheepfold. You got to get out and you got to get fed outside of the sheepfold. You don't get fed in the sheepfold. You know what else is outside of the sheepfold? Outside of the sheepfold is some danger. There's some battles to be fought outside of the sheepfold. There's some victories to be won outside of the sheepfold. There's some suffering and some pain and some growth outside of the sheepfold. That's what's out there. And Jesus is saying everybody's going out. And he leads them forth. We see in verse number 4 that the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Can I tell you something else here this morning? All the sheep have to leave the sheepfold. He doesn't leave any behind. And say, well, some of you guys can follow me if you want to, but the rest of you can stay if you want. He doesn't do that. He says, everybody's going. Everybody's following me. I'm calling each and every one of you to follow me and obey me. He calls them all out of the sheepfold. And you know what? They all follow him. They all follow him. Why? Because they know the voice of the shepherd. That's why. Now, Jesus Christ did have a lot of disciples in his day. And do you know what? A lot of them didn't follow. They didn't follow. And you know why they didn't follow him? Because they didn't like what he had to say. They didn't like his words. Didn't like his voice. And so they left. Read John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. There's Jesus Christ, and he's preaching to the disciples and a big multitude of people there. And he said some things that were very offensive to some of those disciples. You know what happened to some of those disciples? They walked away, and they went no more with Jesus Christ. because they didn't like his words, didn't like his voice. And Jesus Christ turns to his disciples and he says, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Amen. We're going to follow you, Jesus Christ, because we believe your words and we know your voice. All the sheep have to leave and they have to go and they have to follow. You got to leave the sheepfold. But guess what? Jesus Christ is in front. He's fighting for you. He's leading for you. And he's going to lead you every step of the way. You're not there by yourself. Jesus Christ is with you. So as the flock of God, yeah, we can trust the Good Shepherd. We can. Why? Well, he has the right motives. He comes to us in the right way. He knows us and he leads us. Now, are you willing to trust Jesus Christ today? Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to trust him with your life? Are you willing to trust him no matter where he sends you, no matter what he tells you to do, no matter what kind of situation that he puts you in, are you willing to trust Jesus Christ? When he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, are you willing to say with David, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me"? Are you willing to do that? Because he's going to be with you. Are you willing to avoid all the false shepherds that are out there in this world today? No matter who it might be, well, whether it be a political leader, whether it be the culture, whether it be your own good morals, whether it be yourself, it doesn't matter. Are you willing to shun those shepherds and follow Jesus? Are we willing to do that? Follow Christ. How far are you willing to go with Jesus Christ? Well, I'll go with Jesus Christ as long as I feel comfortable. And once things get uncomfortable, well, then I'm not going to follow Jesus Christ. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ even if it doesn't make sense? And this doesn't seem right, humanly speaking. I can't follow Jesus Christ that far. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ even if he asks you to sacrifice a little bit? Are you willing to do that? I can tell you this morning that you can trust the Good Shepherd no matter what happens in life. You can trust him. You can trust him. He's better than any other shepherd, any other school of thought that you might have thought up of or you've ever heard of. You can trust Jesus Christ. He's worth following. He's worth following. Why? Because Jesus Christ has died for your sins. That you can't get forgiveness any other way. Okay? There is no other way for you to get forgiveness of your sins other than through Jesus Christ. Right. It doesn't matter if you're a good person, whether you're a good moral person, you're trying really hard, it's not going to be good enough. One of these days you'll have to stand before God and it won't be good enough. I beg of you to trust Jesus Christ this morning. Trust him. Follow him. He's the good shepherd. Let's pray.